Chevra, it was a big schuss to be together. Mamish, getting closer and closer to the Halig Yantav, the Yantav of Kabbalah, the Torah. The Yantav, we're going to relive Mamish, the giving of the Luchos. And we have to start preparing. When I say start preparing, Vada, we've all been preparing. If not, I don't know what you've been doing for the past 40 days, 41 days. Because the counting of Sfiras Omer, is just a trigger to remind us to be growing and to be preparing. As Klal Yisrael was on the 49th level of Tumah. And we're supposed to be growing until we become tarred, become pure and roy and fit for Kabbalah Torah. That's what all these days are for. There's no Yantiv, we have more days of preparation. Which is an incredible idea. If you stop and think about that itself for a moment. We have a concept by Yantiv, Shloshim Yom Kodem L'Chag. You have a concept to prepare 30 days before a Yantiv, for a Yantiv. To prepare 49 days before the Yantiv. Tells you, Mamish, how Kodesh Shavuos is. And you'd think also, Shavuos, there are no special dinim. You think, so Pesach, you have so many new halachas, and so many Lel Seder, and all the halachas of Lel Seder, and Sukkis, Mamish, Sukkah, and Lulav, and Esrog, and Talminim, Shavuos, but you need the most Hachana. It's Hachana Beruchnis. But as we're getting finally so close, Mamish feeling it, you're feeling it, you're starting to feel the Oros. And now we have to start preparing in a little bit of a different way, meaning this Hachana of purification, of being mitar yourself, working on our midos, working on our on all areas that we need to be mitar and mekadesh ourselves for Kabbalah Satara. But then as we get closer, we have to try to understand what Kabbalah Satara itself is, what Shavuos is, and prepare for that day. And we can't wait till the last minute. I mean, it hasn't been officially set, but I can't imagine that a week from tonight is going to be the biggest achana with the Halig Yantav of Shavuos, with the shear of the year, Ephraim Waxman at Shtibel. If you're not there, then I don't know why you're in Chutz La'aretz. There's no other reason. Tvadit's on that list of what, if you want to be anything but any or of anything in Chutz La'aretz, there's certain events you have to be at. That might be the top of the list. Yeah. Like Moima Brad New Square is up there. It's close. We'll take a vote. So Shir next week. Oh, Moshe Ezra. We should get one. We should get the chair over here.
It's downstairs.
Wow. So get a chair at least. L'maiso, we have to be preparing. And tonight, we're going to really start thinking about Kabbalah Satorah and the Asar Sadibros and what the Yantiv is all about. So we know the first of the Asar Sadibros is Anoich Hashem Elkecha Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Yisrael Mibes Avadim. The Pritzadik, Sadik, tells us, and he didn't really need to say it today, I just saw it from him recently, that the Shoresh of Kol HaTorah Kula is Anoichi. And we understand that already. Yes, Sadik says it, but really it's a Gemara Makos. The Gemara Makos, the Dende Makos tells us, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. And here you have a Gemara that teaches us through Gematria. The Torah is Gematria 611. So Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe taught us 611 mitzvos. Rebbeinu Shel Olam Bechvoide V'atzmo, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam himself, taught us the first two dibros, the first two mitzvos of Anoichi and Loyia. And Loyia is really just, so it's a losasei, and it's the shorash of kol losaseis in a certain sense, but what it is really the flip of Anoichi. Really, the essence of Kol HaTorah Kula is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Yisrael. Now, pashtus in that is very, very simple. Pashtus in that is that Amunah is the root of our lives. Why else are we doing anything? Where are we without Amunah? All of Yiddishkeit is based on Amunah. All of Torah, all of mitzvahs, everything is Amunah. That's the famous words of the Bahag, the Baal Halach. I'm sorry, the famous words of the Ravid explaining the Shitas Bahag. Right, the Baal Lachas Gedolos, the Bahag, famously doesn't include Emunah as one of the 613 mitzvahs. In his Minyan HaMitzvahs, the Rambam surely does. The Bahag doesn't, in the Asagas of the Ramban on the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam, he explains Shitas Bahag. explain Shitas Bahag. Because how could he not have Amun as one of the 630 mitzvahs? And he explains, because it's not just one of the 630 mitzvahs. It's the foundation of every mitzvah. Why do I put on tefillin in the morning? Because I believe in Hashem who told me to do it. Why do I put on tzitzis? Why am I learning Torah? Now again, there are other reasons as well, and there's a lot of more depth, but the core of every mitzvah is because I believe in Hashem. And therefore, it can't just be one of the 613. It can't just be another mitzvah. It's part and parcel of every mitzvah. That's the key. That's pashtus. I was at the schus to be this past Sunday night, but Rav Matal Zilber, but the Chinner Rebbe came to give shmuz in the Gudim for Rockaway. Not sure why everybody wasn't there, but okay, I'm not gonna. When he comes here, it's incredible chizik and esaurus. But one line I want to share. One line when he started to speak, he was talking about sod and connecting to deeper Torah's panemius. And he said, you know, when it comes to learning Torah, a lot of people think there are a lot of derachim in learning Torah. You have a yeshiva, has a rebbe has a particular derech, the brisker derech, and you have other derachim, whatever. You have the mir derech of limud, you have this derech of limud, right? Semis is, there's only one derech of limud. Listen to this, listen to what Ramatul said, I loved it. There's one derech of limud. What do you say one derech of limud is? Kol ha-Torah kulo is Shema Shal Kadosh Baruch. Kol ha-Torah kulo is Shema Shal Kadosh Baruch. That's how he said it. The Derech HaLimud, the way to learn Torah, the proper way to learn Torah, is that the entire Torah is Shem Hashem. By the way, that's where we learn Birchas HaTorah from. Right? The Marsha? Shkoyach Marsha. Right? When you call out the name of Hashem, you have to first bring greatness to His name. How so? So Marsha there says, because call out Torah Kula is Shem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So before you learn Torah, you have to first bring greatness by making the bracha. The whole Torah is Shem of Hashem. What does that mean, the whole Torah is Shem of Hashem? What is Ramatul saying? What's the Gemara saying? Our Shem is our essence. Meaning, if you want to connect to Hashem, you have to learn Torah. That's how you connect to His essence. It's His personality. It's His character trait. I mean, the point, and the essence of learning Torah is to get to Shema Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to Hashem, to build stronger Amunah, basically. That's what Ramatul is saying. He's not saying, by the way, he was not Chas V'Shalom on any level bashing any Derech HaLimud. You could learn a brisker Derech, you could learn a mirror Derech, you could learn whatever Derech, Mashalib HaChavitz, but Shivim Panam HaTorah. But what he was saying was the essence of all those Derechim, if you're not searching for Shema Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you're not connecting in your Liman HaTorah to no Sein HaTorah, then what are you doing? This is not an intellectual pursuit. It's life. It's a spiritual, emotional pursuit with intellectual exercise. And we can't ever forget that. That's all of Liman HaTorah as we prepare for Kabbalah HaTorah. But the emphasis is that's not what I want to talk about tonight. That's Pashtus and why Anochi is Shorish called Tokula and it's Emes. That's Pshat. And I saw a Torah from the Tolner Rebbe. It takes it a little bit deeper how this pasuk is shorish kol haTorah kula. I've been living with, the Chevra knows the last few shiurim have all been based on this, the Putina Deraisa, the Sefer. Mamish, love it. Incredible. To call him up to thank him. Mamish, it's like, it's incredible. Call him up from Tali to. He says I'm amazing. Let's delve a little bit deeper into this pasuk. I am Hashem your God that took you out of Mitzrayim. Mi beis avodim. So we all know those, that words at the end of the pasuk, mi beis avodim, I took you out of Mitzrayim from the house of slavery. Those words are extra. Why does it say mi beis avodim? Asher tzichem eretz Mitzrayim. It's a lot of mafarshim, but Rashi already discusses this. And the words mi beis avodim, it doesn't really even answer that question in this Rashi. I want to discuss another yisod. There's a strange Rashi. Rashi says, "Mi beis paro sheyisim avodim lo." Does that mean Hashem took us out of that house of Paro who we were slaves to? Oh, ain't Omer el mi beis avodim she avodim la avodim. Or maybe we were avodim to the regular Egyptians who themselves are slaves to Paro ultimately. So we were avodim of avodim. In other words, Rashi saying, were we avodim to Paro or we are avodim to the Mitzrim who are avodim to Paro? Tamad lomer. V'yivdechem b'beis avodim miyad paro melech mitzrayim amar meyata avodim l'melech hayu v'lo avodim l'avodim. So when it says m'beis avodim, it's trying to teach us, no, we're avdei paro and not avdei mitzrim, who are themselves avodim too, paro. Shkoyach. Like, what is the difference? Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And we owe him our lives for that. And we have Emuna in the Rebbeinu Shalom who brought Esther Makos and Chris Yamsov. Does it make a difference whether ultimately we were slaves to Paro or slaves to the Mitzrim? Does it really make a difference? Why is that important? Why is this pasuk emphasizing that to us? Why does that matter? It's question number one. Question number two is a very famous question. And you've all had this question. It's one of those questions that all your younger siblings or cousins asked this year and every other year at the Seder. It's like one of those questions when they do those like Tzanistika YouTube films about the Seder, they make fun of, it's like the question of, if you brought us to Har Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, like Dayenu, and everybody has to ask what's pshat in that, right? So this is up there. This is up there. This is definitely up there. It's up there with Hakashinov, And the question we say in the Agadah, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us, if he didn't take us to Mitzrayim, we would still be Mishubadim L'Paro B'Mitzrayim. Right? We say we'd still be slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. And everybody asks, really? You really think right now, thousands of years later, we'd still be slaves to Egyptians? Like, what are the chances? How could we actually even say such words? That if Hashem didn't take it out of Mitzrayim then, we'd still be slaves to Paro Mitzrayim. Really? Come on. Like, does that... So the Tolna Rebbe said, he said, Lamashal. That's not the way the world works. There are people that have been slaves in different makoimos, and eventually they somehow are freed. Emancipation. You have in our country, once upon a time, the African Americans were slaves. Once upon a time, the African Americans were slaves. And you had a whole civil war, and I don't know, whoever knows the history behind it, we all went to school and learned about it. How many of us paid attention? That's another story. But, Abraham Lincoln a little bit, right? Right? Just throwing out some names. And, whatever we thought of him or didn't think of him, our previous president was an African American. No longer slaves. So what are the chances that we would still be slaves? What are the chances? What does that mean? Really? This is a tremendous Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. Remember, through all this, through these questions and answers, we're going to understand Amkus, in Anoich Hashem L'kech HaShezich Mitzrayim, that is the shorish of Kol HaTorah Kula. Listen closely. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in Parshas Yisro, right on this pasuk, he tells us, and through this Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, we can answer the second question of what does it mean that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us out of Mitzrayim, in the way that he did then, we would still be avadim to Paro. So he says as follows. Pirish, on the words mibeis avadim. He didn't take us out in a way that we would still have upon us a shame avdus. We would still have upon us that we felt like we were slaves. Hamoshel, for example, the parable, let's say he took us and we had to run away from the Mitzrim. Even though we wouldn't be saved. It would have been, it could have been, that we still were, had a shame avdus. We still were considered slaves, even within ourselves. Keila avde paro. People say, oh, these are the slaves of Paro. They happen to get out, but those are the slaves of Paro. Umasho, but he took us out with unbelievable miracles, awesome things. Ad Shomer Paro, until Paro himself, the king himself, said, Hare Atem La'atzmechem, you go, be by yourself. Hare Atem B'nei Chayrin, you're free, as the Yalkut Shemani quotes. And then he talks about the Hafla Pela Gadol Betavasu Beyam, Kriyas Yamsuf, and all the Mitzrim drowning in the sea. B'zeh Poka Shem Avdus Mehem. He says, that's Pshat Mibes Avadim. Not just that Asher Tzitzicha, and that's we answer our first question. Not just that he took us out of Mitzrayim, because he could have taken us out of Mitzrayim in a way that we still had Shem Avdus. He also took us Mibes Avadim. He also took us that there was no feeling of Avdus within us. It was uprooted completely. We were fully free. We had chairus. You know, slowly, lo, bez Hashem, lo, bizachar Mashiach, b'kar v'yameinu, but if we're not zoicha, lo aleinu, you know, slowly, we're losing our last few kedoshim from the Holocaust that are left with us. It's a pachar. It's scary. I mean, Bez Hashem will be Zecher Mashiach, so we won't ever see that day. But it's a scary thought. I spoke last week about a Kaddish Degir had this chus to meet 97 years old who learned by Rav Chanan Wasserman. Crazy. I said this last week, I'll just repeat for Chavri, because someone came to speak to me today. And he said, he's learning. Guys, Baruch Hashem, learning. He said very often like 8 hours a day. Unbelievable. But mostly Gemara Rashi. And he came and he told me that some of his friends told him in the name of Adam Gadol, who I will not mention, that if you learn just Gemara Rashi, it's Bittul Torah. This person said, in the name of an Adam Gadol, Rosh Hashiva, if you learn only Gemara Rashi, it's Bittul Torah. So we're going to be down l'kaschus at the table. We try to be down l'kaschus always. Just like that yid we were speaking about earlier, that's the way we're going to be down l'kaschus, that we don't understand the situation. We'll be down l'kaschus. We must have misunderstood. Because it can't be that any other God would say such a thing. And I heard with my own ears from a tzaddik, a yid, a kaddish dig yid, who survived the Holocaust, who learned by Rav Chanan Wasserman and Baranovich, that when Rav Chanan Wasserman gave shir in Baranovich, the way he gave shir, he read the Gemara and gave taitch in Yiddish. That was shir. Nothing more. We all know the ha'aros and the chidushim of Rav Chanan Wasserman. Maybe he gave those shir when he was in America fundraising, and maybe, I don't know. But Lemaisa, that's what he learned by Rav Chanan for one. He was in Yeshiva in Baranovich 2 years. 1 year Rav Chanan was in America, wasn't there. He learned by son of Naftali in the 2nd year of Rav Chanan. That's how Rav Chanan gave shir. So if Rav Chanan Wasserman gave shir there, for someone else to say that's Bittul Torah, it's a joke. We don't even need anyone with half a brain doesn't need even to hear such a story of Rav Chanan Wasserman to know that sheker should be sheker. Sheker Shabashaker. When Rashi himself learned Torah, it was Bittul Torah, because Rashi didn't have anything to learn. He just learned the Gemara. So that's it. That's saying it's Bittul Torah. I mean, think about it. It's crazy. Learn Torah. The MS is learn Gemara. So many people are learning, I don't want to name any because they're beautiful tzaddikim, and learning Achronim and only talking in the Achronim, don't even know Pshat Gemara. Can't even open up and read the Gemara. Learn the Gemara first. And Noah Klar, of course, it's beautiful. I love myself, and we also love learning Rishonim Achronim Ba'amkos Aleiv. But Mashali B'chavetz, but if it does it for you, and all you just sitting and learning Gemara Rashi, and you love that, and you want to learn that 8 hours a day, Matov Manoim. You know what? Nachas Ruach, you're being the Ebishter. Anyways, that's not what I want to talk about. Lameisa, there's not so many Ketoshim left. There's not so many kedoshim left. If that Adam Gadol really said such a thing, you can tell me all the thousands and thousands of Yidden that Baruch Hashem are Moshe Nefesh to learn Daf Yomi. How many thousands of Yidden, thousands of Balabatim that didn't even learn when they were younger, and Baruch Hashem, because of the art school, because of they go on a train and they sit and learn Daf Yomi. All those thousands of hours of Bittul Torah. Like, why are we putting together a big CMA Shas January 1st in MetLife Arena and going to spend literally millions of dollars for that probably for Bittul Torah night? I mean, what are you, crazy? Shem Yerachim on such a statement. And that fools, that there's no way that Adam Gadol said it so that fools would repeat it. Shem Yerachim. But anyways, okay. Learn Torah. Enjoy. Learn Mishnayos. Learn Chumash. Learn, just learn. How many Yidden are not learning? Anyways, what I wanted to bring up, why I brought up the Holocaust, is that we've all had this chus to meet Holocaust survivors, and we know there are different types of Holocaust survivors. And there are Holocaust Kedoshim that were able somehow, we can't even understand because none of us lived through it, and we can't even, but somehow walked out of that Gehenna Mal Aretz and rebuilt Mishpachos B'derech Tor Mitzvos with full Emunah, with full Simcha, and have a Simcha Zachayim, and have a life, and a mamish never stopped dancing and smiling. And there's some Holocaust survivors, unfortunately, that survived physically, but didn't survive emotionally. And didn't survive spiritually. And I'm just stating facts. I don't blame them. Chas v'sholom. And they're all kedoshim for what they went through. The Satmar Rebbe Zichas Ad Kadosh Baruch Hu Paskin, every single Holocaust survivor, whenever they pass away, it's considered they died out Kiddush Hashem because of what they went through. Whenever they pass away, they died out Kiddush Hashem. Lalacha, the certain nafkaminas even. Anyways, Lameisa. So some Holocaust survivors, they physically made it out, but they never really made it out. In other words, there were Yidden that mamish not only got out of the Holocaust through Nisim Gluyim, but the Holocaust was taken from them also. And there were Yidden that had stayed with them. And what the Rechaim HaKadosh is telling us by Mitzrayim, the godless of Yisrael Mitzrayim, was not just Anoich Hashem Elokecha, Asher Otzisicha Mitzrayim. Not only did I take you out of Mitzrayim, but I took the Mitzrayim out of you. There was no longer Shem Avdus. No longer Shem Avdus. You were completely free. Yes, it's true. When we came out, we were on the 49th level of Tumah, and that's what the days of Sfiras Omer are about. But that's pshat, and if we were ilu lahotei Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mitzrayim, so he mishubadim lepar, we'd still be mishubadim lepar Mitzrayim. Not that we would physically be in Egypt still today. We wouldn't physically be slaves in Egypt today. But wherever we'd be, we'd have the mindset, the emotional wherewithal of avdei paro for the rest of our history as a Jewish nation. For the rest of our history as a Jewish nation. In other words, we wouldn't be free, even though we might be physically free. Not every person that's physically free is free. Lo aleinu, God forbid, and some of us in this room have dealt with it. And unfortunately, I deal with it way too often. With the machl of addiction. The machl of addiction. When you have someone who's an addict, whatever the addiction is to, addiction to drugs, addiction to gambling, an addiction even to pornography. Physically you're free. Physically you walk around looking like anyone else maybe, on some level. But emotionally, you are a slave. You're an Evan. You're a slave to your desire. You're a slave to your addiction. You're not free to be. The godless of Asher Tzichem Mitzrayim B'Savodim is that we were taken physically out of Mitzrayim and we were wiped clean of a state of Avdus. And in those next 49 days, literally, we started a new Pascha Zivmasam. We had complete Cheres in order to be Mekabel Torah. That's what happened. And that's what we mean by Lel Seder, that it was only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim then that He did this to us and we're not still Avdei Paro. And we need this. Each and every one of us needs this now. To be completely free, to be able to connect Hashem, and not be pulled into the slavery of society, the slavery of our emotions, the slavery of sadness, the slavery of temptation. But let's understand a little deeper, Chevra. How did Hashem do this for us? It was just Nisim Gluyim, and He took us out and wiped, you know, like we forgot it all and new beginnings. I mean, He could do that to us. But were there certain nekudas, were there certain things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us to help us get to that point? And maybe through this we can understand how we can be at that point, because each and every one of us needs to be at that point. Where we are free to be an Eved Hashem. We're free to be an Eved Hashem. Those are the words of my Rebbe, Nassim Zvi Finkel, Zeches Tzadik Kashvracha, that I'll never forget the rest of my life. I think about these words probably every other day. When he asked, you know, we say we go me'avdus l'cheres. When we left Mitzrayim as an Eved l'cheres. So what do you mean avdus l'avdus? Me'avdus l'cheres. It should be me'avdus l'avdus. We were an Eved to Paro, now we're an Eved to Hashem. And Yavdecha ben Amazecha. Me'avdus l'avdus. Why me'avdus l'cheres? He says the definition of cheres is that I'm free to be an Eved Hashem. I went me'avdus l'cheres. I went from the slavery Paro to be cheres, to be free to be an Eved Hashem. Are we free to be an Eved Hashem? Because first of all, in other words, there is a hakdom of even anoichi Hashem l'kecha. And you know what the hakdom of anoichi Hashem l'kecha is? Asher tisichem etzraimi beis avadim. That I'm completely free. Because if not, it's not going to work. Because I'm just a slave. So how could I then become an Eved to Hashem in the proper way? How did Hashem build it in us? So I want to bring out two nekudas based on Torahs from the Talmud Rebbe. First of all, there was a bris bein habasarim. In Parshas Lech Lecha, on the bris bein habasarim, we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram, Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayomer l'Avram yadoa teida ki ger yezarecha beretz lo lahem v'avodim v'inu osam arba me'ashona. HaKadosh Baruch Hu already told us, it was predestined. They were going to be slaves in Mitzrayim. But He also told us, when He told that to Avram Avinu, what else? What's the very next pasuk? V'gam ez agar asher yavodu don anochi v'achrechein yeitzu b'ruchush agadol. That He's going to judge that nation, there's going to be destruction to that nation, and we're going to leave b'ruchush gadol. We're going to, with crazy fireworks, man. That's what b'ruchush gadol, I don't know a better way to translate that. I mean, Rashi's b'mamon gadol, but big stuff. Big stuff. So it was already promised to us from Hashem that we knew we were going to go into slavery, but also there's going to be Geulas Mitzrayim. It's a different mindset. It's a different mindset to life when you're prepared for both the fall, but also know there's going to be a Geula. It's a different mindset. During that low, I could keep my head up high. I know that I'm going to come out of that. You know what's so hard in life? When we go through a difficulty, God forbid, whether it's a difficulty in Ruchnias, you're struggling in Shmir Sinayim, whether it's a Shiduchim, you know, you're dating and it's just not going well for a long time. Whether, God forbid, somebody's very, very sick and the prognosis is very, very bad. Lo aleinu. Whatever that nisoyon in life is. You know what really is so difficult about the nisoyon is? We don't have Ruach HaKodesh. And we don't see the end. And ultimately, somewhere deep in our mind, let's be real, we fear for the worst. We fear for the worst. So I'm afraid that I'm going to be that 45-year-old single guy that's never married. And I'm afraid that this chayt machla is going to end in fatality. And I'm afraid that I'm going to be one of those individuals that's always in an impoverished state and never have any money. There's somewhere in me that's telling me that. Because ultimately, if whatever trial, tribulation, nisayon I go through, if I know there's an end and it's going to be there, that will give me the biggest strength to get through it. I know it's just a short time. You know, when I'm meeting with young women and giving them some chizik and eitzah in dating, so I tell them always the following. One of the lines I like to tell them is, "Bishatoy muslachas." Remember, this is not a race. It's finding the best person at the best time. And I say to them, if I told you I have a guy for you, and in 5 months from now you'd be engaged, and in 8 months from now you'd be married, and you'd have a nice life and nice children, and everything would be really good. Or in 3 years from now you'd marry the greatest guy in the world and have the greatest life and the greatest children, you'd in a minute sign up for the 3-year plan. In a minute. No shaila. Of course, every girl would say, of course, no question. Problem is, I can't even promise that, obviously. And the fear is, how do I know the 3-year plan is going to happen? Maybe I'm going to be that 20-year plan individual. That's scary. But if you know there's an end, if you know it's going to be good, that gives you the biggest kochos to get through the nisayon, and not just to get through the nisayon, not fall into the nisayon. Not to be the Eved in this situation. I never even am the Eved. Yes, I'm in Mitzrayim. And yes, there are difficulties on a level. But I personally, I'm all good. You know why? Because I know I'm getting out. This is just temporary stuff. It's all just temporary stuff. It's a different mindset. It's a different mindset. And each and every one of us needs to realize myself a similar bottom in our lives. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying to Klal Yisrael, you're going to go into Mitzrayim, but I'm going to take you out. And that gave them the ability to never become the Avadim where it's deeply rooted within themselves. So the moment they're out, they're good because they were good the whole time in ways. Because they knew it's going to be alright. They had that mindset. Each and every one of us has to have the same mindset. Kol ma'adav rachman al tavavid. It's going to be good. It's just a matter of time. There's going to be gula, beprat, bechlal. We have to believe it. We have to know it. With all our heart, with all our soul, it's a different life. It's a different life. I'm good. I'm good. You know, I had this chus to be very, very close with a very kaddish digayid. Some of you heard him speak when you were in DRS. Unfortunately, sadly, he passed away a few years ago, but he came twice on Yom HaShoah to speak to the yeshiva. I used to bring him to my shir every single year. Talking about a tzaddik in our community, labeled Zisman, Zecher Tzaddik Kadosh Baruch Hu. Little chaver knows the Portels. It's the Portels' grandfather, Karen Portels' father. Maybe some other of the grandchildren in the neighborhood. Label Zisman, he lived around the corner from my parents, from Moshe Ezra on Maple. I had this chus to be very close to him. It was one of the most special people in my life, and I don't say that lightly. So much of my emunah Hashem is because of the time I spent listening and talking to him. I'm not saying I met him at a time in my life I already had emunah. I'm not saying I didn't have emunah, but we have to always be growing in emunah and always be working on our emunah. And he took my emunah to a different level. His book, you should all read his book if you haven't read it, it's called I Believe. You could go online. If you go online on YouTube, I know obviously none of us have internet on our phones or anything, but you could find it somewhere. I think everybody here somehow could find it. Somehow, that's just my hunch. Go online on YouTube and type in Label Zisman. There's online him speaking it seems like it's a Hillel on a college campus or something. It's like a little over an hour. You should all listen to it. It's incredible. Label had more emunah than anyone I met in my life, maybe. Guy was incredible. His stories, if I started telling you over the stories now, we'd be here all night. And you have to hear it from him, not from me. Nisim Gluyim, what he went through in the Holocaust and survived at least 6-7 times, he should have been killed. Like, mamish, like, I'm talking like to the extent, to, you know, like an extent in, you know, in Birkenau, in Auschwitz, kicking a Nazi where it counts, and end up alive somehow. You know, like crazy, yeah. Because this Nazi was like pushing down some of the his friends, pushing them into the water and into the mud, time after and freezing cold. And Label said enough. He's that's it, and he just went. He's like, he's not doing that one more time. And he lived to tell the story. I'm doing crazy things. Like Nisa, he had one of the only pairs of tefillin in Auschwitz. He put on tefillin every day in Auschwitz. Nisim, how he kept them. The Novominsky Rebbe, that's how he used to go and borrow his tefillin every day in Auschwitz. You hear this? I mean, crazy things. What a tzaddik. Anyways, Lemaisa. when the war, when it just broke out and things were getting bad at the beginning, his father was a Chabad Chassid, and his label was very close with the Rebbe Zatzal. But he had this chus also before the war to go get a bracha from Yosef Yitzchak Schneerson from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe. And he got a bracha. He went with his father. And he got a bracha, and he remembers. He says it over like it was yesterday. He at the time I think he was like 8 years old, maybe, I don't remember exactly. And he was his father telling the Rebbe, "Please bench my child that he should survive and he should be okay." And the Rebbe for a while wouldn't give a bracha. And he remembers his father and the Rebbe just crying. He's there. He was a little boy, and finally the Rebbe gave him a bracha, and he remembers it. It's all stories. When they were, I don't remember exactly where the Rebbe was because they were sneaking the Rebbe out of Europe. They got him out, and it was like on his way when the Rebbe was. It was like the last night when the Rebbe was in Europe before he was going to leave, and it was like he was one of the last people to get a bracha from the Rebbe. And I heard it from Label many times. He believes it was that bracha of why he survived. And he believed it in the moment. You see, let me explain to you why I'm bringing this story. He lived with that bracha the entire time throughout the Shoah, throughout the Holocaust, which gave him the strength to say, "I'm going to survive." So yes, he went through hell on earth. And he lost all of his family. All his brother also survived. So Nisim, and he ended up, his brother's still alive. Man, he should be, so he could live many, many, many more years. But he, Beryl, Lamaisa, he, that gave him a chizik. He had that bracha in his back pocket. "I'm going to survive. The Lubavitcher Rebbe gave me a bracha that I'm going to survive. I'm going to survive." He lived with that. And therefore he, and that's why Label is able to not just survive physically, but survive emotionally and spiritually, and build Shomer Torah mitzvos, and rebuild in the most incredible ways. With Emunah. And each and every one of us needs that. And that's the first key to that Amunah Noich Hashem Elkech Shetzichem Eretz Yisrael. That we are Shetzichem Eretz Yisrael Beis Avadim. That we're not slaves because we know it's going to be okay. So I don't allow myself to be a slave. So now I can be free to serve Hashem. You hear, Chavra? Amkus. I have to understand this. But there's another Yisod. There's another Yisod, Chavra. To understand now back to that initial Rashi. Why is it that Rashi on this pasuk tells us, has to emphasize for us that we were slaves to Paro and not slaves to regular Mitzrim? So Tolna Rebbe explains. This was all part of the Refuah before the Makkah as well. Because if you feel that you're a slave to the Mitzrim and you're a slave to a slave, it gives you a feeling of worthlessness. Gives you a feeling, I'm lower than low. I'm a slave to a slave. And when you have that mentality, you feel so low, you build inside yourself an emotional state of avdus, which then is very difficult to uproot. The fact that we're avadim, the paro, gave us the ability, the Talmud Rebbe says, to be mechazik ourselves throughout the day. Listen, I'm a slave. I'm not in a good place. But at least I'm slaves to the king of the mightiest empire in the world. It's not the worst place to be either. There's a certain chashivas even in that. Wouldn't people love to be like the top servant to Paro? You know, like that's chashiv. That's cool. Listen, how many people you have in the government want to be, you know, underneath Trump? They give up. They can be making, we're not going to name any names, but people that can be making millions and millions and enjoying life in different ways, and they want to be, right? So we're avadim to Paro. That too gives us a chizuk. That too gives us an understanding that I'm not really so low. And each and every one of us needs to know that we're chashiv. And when you feel chashiv, you don't allow yourself to be a slave. Like we spoke about last week, Oid Ma'av Vein Rasha, each yid needs to feel this. And that too is a shoresh ta'anoichi. That we're not slaves to Paro, we're not slaves to Avodim, and we could save to ourselves, we're not even slaves to Paro. We're completely free. And we're free to be Avdei Hashem. We're free to be slaves to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We're free to, we hold our heads up high and be Anoich Hashem Elokecha. And that's the Shoresh. Now we can understand the Halagos Pritzadik. And even the words of the Ramban, how Anoichi is not just a mitzvah, but the foundation of all mitzvahs. And it's not just a Muna. It's even prior to that. It's allowing ourselves to have a Muna. Being free to have a Muna. Being free to have a Muna, being not bound by other desires and society and pressures. And accept upon ourselves the old Torah, the old mitzvahs. Emunah b'Hashem. We could do that by knowing that Hashem is always by our side. And knowing that Hashem believes us. And knowing that Hashem says, I'm going to get you out of there. And as well, realizing how chashuv we are, we're a ben melech. I'm not an eved of an eved. I'm a ben melech. I'm bigger than, I'm not even avdei paro anymore. Of course I have to be able to take upon myself avdus of Hashem. But if I'm bound to other avdus, I'm not going to have anaych Hashem l'kecha. You know, I know all the time I deal with this. You have guys who are connected to certain strong taivas. And they think, okay, I can live in both worlds. I can learn and daven and I'm still going to smoke. And I'm not talking about cigarettes, you know. Not that that's good for you either. Not that that's healthy. That's far from healthy. And juuling's not healthy. And nobody should be involved in any of that. Shmart v'nafshazeichem. Makes no sense that any Ben Torah cares about himself and cares about Torah mitzvahs should be involved with something that is clearly, that their studies shown, that's unhealthy. It's that simple. It's that simple. There's nothing wrong with having a mutter outlet in life. I'm not saying. You want to play some ball and you want to hang out with your friends and go to eat something. You want to spend time with chesnish, whatever there are. There are many mutter outlets in life. But if it's an outlet that is clearly proven to be unhealthy, so it's aser. How can you think about it for a moment? If you're a bentor, you care about Torah mitzvahs. So what? You're taking time off your life that you could serve the Rabbanu Shalom. Scary thought. If you just stop and think like that, how could you ever put a cigarette into your mouth? How could you ever put a jewel into your mouth? How could you ever do these things? It's that simple. Now, lemaisa, but there are those, I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about mamish smoking marijuana and things that mess with your mental ability and thought process. And I think, nah, I'm going to learn, I'm going to dive, and I'm still going to, you know, I'll just smoke at night. I'll just smoke benas darim. You're a slave to your taivas. And if you're a slave to your taivas, whether you realize that, you're not being makabel o machashayim. You're not going to be able to have the foundation to say, Adonai Hashem Elokecha. Because you're not, you didn't reach a step of Yesias mi beis avodim. You're still b'beis avodim. And if you're still b'beis avodim, you're not free to be an Eved Hashem. That's the bottom line. First and foremost, I have to be free from everything else. There's nothing in my life that should be but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't mean I don't go to college and earn a parnasa, but all those things have to be towards Kedusha and towards the Rabbanu Shalom. Ravadim Tashem, as the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so beautifully, Parsha has been last week's Parsha. Maftir perichafei pasuk nunhei ki li bnei Yisrael avodim avodaihem, they're my avodim. What is chus? I'm an eved of Hashem. Asher zitzos the merits of Mitzrayim. I took them out of Mitzrayim. Ani Hashem alkechem. Now that I took you out of Mitzrayim and mibeis avodim, now I could be your God. That's what he's saying over here. But not if I allow myself to be an eved to something else. And when that other taiva comes your way, realize that's all avdus. I'm supposed to be an Eved Hashem. I'm going to be an Eved to this. What are you crazy? I was thinking about this idea. Kosh Baruch Hu brought me a matana. If you take the gematria with the koilels of the two words, Eved HaMelech, to be an Eved of the King, because that's our voice, to be an Eved of the King, with the koilels. So it's plus two for each word. Eved HaMelech, is gematria 173, which happens to be exactly the gematria, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't check this, but if I remember from past gematrias, Emunah and Bitachon with the Kailal, because the Emunah and Bitachon, which is Anoich Hashem Elokecha, is to be in Eved HaMelech. But it's also exactly gematria, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. You want to come to Anoich HaShel Mokach be an Eved HaMelech. And have that Emunah B'tochem. You have to be that Eved HaMelech and not an Eved to anything else. And that's when we could walk into Shavuos and be Makabel Torah. But that has to be the foundation. You know, I'll never forget for the rest of my life. I had this chus to be together. And we spoke about it. A lot of the Chevra members last year. I don't know who was here that night. That Thursday night of that week. Right after Chanukah. Well, this was the last night as Chanukah ended when Shlomo Mordechai Rabashkin was freed from jail. And it was an incredible night. Again, no one's here saying that what he did was okay or not, but we all know that he was in jail much longer than he should have been because of anti-Semitism. That's it. And therefore, it was a tremendous geula for somebody who didn't deserve to be in jail at that point for that long. And out of nowhere, seemingly, it was the whole thing, Mamish Nisim, out of nowhere. He was in the middle of sitting down, having the final suit of Chanukah, and he was just told that day, I think it was, that he, if I remember correctly, I heard from him that night, he got a letter that his last appeal was thrown out the window. He thought he's going to be in jail another 20 years. And that day, he's let out. And it was an amazing night. We all, if you weren't there, you saw, I'm sure, videos when he went first to Monty at the Borough Park, and then he went to 770. And I had the schus to be in 770 that night with him. I said, how could you not be there? There's certain things you gotta be at. This is something, so first we heard he was going to oil, so we said, that's oil. But then we heard he's going to 770. Who knows? He did go to oil, but he didn't get to oil until like 4 in the morning. So he went to 770, and it was of the most beautiful night of celebration that I've ever been a part of. Pure, authentic Simchas Achaim, hundreds and thousands of Yidden. I don't mean hundreds of thousands, hundreds and thousands of Yidden. Thousands, probably been, I don't know, inside. 770 was packed, thousands of Yidden. Just dancing, we don't know Shlomo Mordechai Rabashkin, dancing at a pure Simcha for another Jew. It was unbelievable. Spontaneous, nobody, like, it wasn't set, it wasn't anything. Spontaneous music and dancing. And I was there, I got there as he showed up. It was incredible. And we dive in the Meir of he dive in the Meir of like it was like Rosh Hashanah Nigin. It was incredible in 770. And then he spoke. And I have the whole speech on video. I was standing literally like somehow Nisim Hashem brought me. I was like literally like 5 feet from him. It was unbelievable. And I gave him a big hug and kiss. It was incredible. That was later during when he came down to dance. And he spoke. And to see him and to hear him was like a night. I'll never forget. But I'll never forget what he said. He said, I want you to know, they say I was in jail, whatever, 8 years, whatever it was, right? They say I was in jail. I was never in jail. I was never in jail. You're standing there listening to this, you thought maybe he lost it there, you know, like, no, that's not what he meant. And he said, and he explained, he might have physically been in jail, but he never felt one day that he was in jail. Because he was learning, and he was davening, and he was with the Eibishter, and he had his Emunah, and he had his Chayvus Halvavos, and he came out with that Chayvus Halvavos famous story, because he told the story how he was told he'd come out with the Chayvus Halvavos, and that was the one thing he accidentally took with him, basically, because he left everything there. He said, you let me out, I'm out of here. He didn't take it, he just took his Talit Tevilah, and it was in there. He never felt as he didn't feel like he was an Eved. He might have physically been an Eved, but emotionally he was never an Eved. He said it. I was never in jail. Those want to stay longer, I can show you the video of him saying this. So he was free to say, Anoichi Hashem Lokecha. A lot of us who are not in physical jails, we're slaves to our desires, to our temptations, to society, to pressures, to culture, to family pushing, whatever it might be. Let's make sure that we are free. Be based avodim. So that we, each and every one of us, could say, Anoichi Hashem Lokecha Lel Shavuos. Each and every one of us could stand at our Sinai again and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm with you, I'm accepting Kol HaTorah Kula. I want this. I want this life. I want a life of Simcha. I want a life of Bracha. I want a life of Kirvus Elohim. I don't want to be a slave to a slave. I want to be a slave to the Eibishter Bez Hashem Yisbarach. Holy Shabbos Kodesh. 5 minutes, we got